now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out, live from the BCFM studios here in Bristol. I'm Steffi Barnett.
And I'm Andy Shilton. And today on the show, it's all about the tea.
We'll be talking to Diane and debating the terminology, the prejudices within the trans community.
And Under the Umbrella.
It's their first podcast with us, so stay tuned to find out more.
All that and more coming today, right here on Shout Out. Good evening, all. Hello, Tara.
Hello.
Hello, you.
I'm peddling as fast as I can.
Just waiting there, I think.
So, how are we all?
I'm all right, thank you.
Yeah.
You know that next week we've got Matthew and Lara. She's not going to be able to do her doobie doobie doo because you've changed the theme.
Well, she'll have to learn to sing this one then, won't she? In fact, I know Lara. She'll just get, no, I don't like it.
Yeah.
Won't she? I'm sure she will. So you can hear Terry. Ooh. Terry and Matthew chuckling in the background.
Who saw Silent Witness? Hands up in the studio.
Oh,
me? Only two of us. Well, okay.
What's the connection?
It was all about trans.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. I haven't seen it.
A two-parter. It was really good.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well balanced.
Was it on what channel?
BBC One.
BBC
One.
So you can get on iPlayer.
Oh, so it'll be on iPlayer then.
Yeah, on iPlayer.
Yeah. So if you missed it, get on to iPlayer now.
Did you all see Doctor Who over Christmas?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't over Christmas, actually. It was in the New Year, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yep.
So, but they're not doing any more this year.
Are they not?
No. We've got to wait till 2020 now.
Really? I didn't know that. Yeah. Our Doctor Who specialist should be on a mic now instead of sat in the green room.
Is that Matthew?
No.
Oh, Terry.
Terry.
Am I right? It's 2020 it's coming back, yeah.
We're getting a confirmation.
That's ridiculous. Yeah.
But she's kind of like really revived the statistics for people watching, which is really good.
It's interesting. My daughter hates her. And I'm like, what's going on?
How old is your daughter?
14.
Yeah, so she's a teenager.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So they have to hate everything, don't they?
I'm not sure about the storylines. Some of them I feel quite weak, but I just love her character.
Yeah.
Oh, I just love her character. Yeah.
Yeah.
I base myself on her.
To you?
Yeah.
So.
Plus a few years.
I was going to say. Well, actually, I mean, you say plus a few years. She is hundreds of years old.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah. I've been with Doctor Who, of course. Of course I was.
Well, Dr. Barnett.
Us Time Lords. Time has no effect.
Have you got two hearts, have you?
Two hearts?
Yeah.
I think I might have three.
Oh.
Have you got one?
Oh. So we'll that's one before we went on air.
Which you can't repeat
no,
on air.
No, you're not allowed to tell
Lynn
that
within
one.
The, yeah, two
you're not
within
allowed
the
to tell
Lynn
that one. They'll never talk to me again.
You two, can you listen to each other for such a long time?
There could be violence, could be violence.
Anyway, we're running over and we've got an awful lot to get into this show. So I'm going to ask you if we can please have some events, if you wouldn't
mind.
Yeah,
we must apologise, first of all. AS Police will be back next month. Helen, get well soon, my love.
Oh, another one hit by the lurgy.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going round, isn't it? So, right, events. So who's going first?
We've got a message from Kate Glanfield and Amy Elger, co-founders of Trans Gloucester and Trans Stroud. There's some new events taking part in those two cities. They're currently organised via Facebook and can be found by searching Trans Gloucester or Trans Stroud. That's on Facebook. They're also on Twitter at Gloucester Trans. So that's Gloucester.
Gloucester.
All right.
If you're American.
That's Tara Gloucester.
No, it's me. I can't spell for toffee.
The last thing that said that to me like that was the sat nav in the car.
What, Gloucester?
Gloucester, really? Yeah. And then it used to, because you know, it's like we say like Avonmouth, but we say like Portsmouth and Bournemouth. It used to say like Bournemouth and Portsmouth, and then they changed it so it now says Avonmouth.
You can be quiet now, it's my turn.
All right. I told you she had no hearts. I was right.
The group is designed for a safe place to make connections, strive to be family friendly and welcome trans and non-binary individuals and their families. Meets so far included frequent meetups at the Guru Cafe in Gloucester. Alice wears the laser tag in cocktail evening. 2019, however, they're hoping to do much, much more. So keep in touch via Facebook and Twitter.
Marvellous.
And we've then got Indigo. So next Thursday, 17th, we've got Queer Comedy Mixer with Becky Branting. So that is a first one of the year. A welcome new year in with new friends and faces. They've got the usual kind of queer mixer at the start of the first hour where everyone gets to get circulated. It's a bit like speed dating without the pressure.
Have you done that, the speed dating bit?
I keep getting
invited, but it doesn't really.
What, speed dating?
Yeah, they keep inviting me over, but yeah.
It's a kind of social thing as well. It doesn't have to mean you have to get into somebody's bed.
How speedy you got to be?
Well, you're worried you're getting on a bit. I can't keep it up.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's at the Square Club for 8 p.m. If you don't want to do the speed dating, you can go after 9 p.m. and then you can
That's past my bedtime.
Well, you can do the show first and then go afterwards.
I listen to the Archers and then I'm in bed.
Yeah, so anyway, you can get tickets in advance if you go to Eventbrite, search for Indigo, and they're between £8 and sixpence and £9 and 12. That must be something to do with Eventbrite.
Sixpence?
Yeah, sixpence.
I haven't heard it pronounced like that in years.
Maybe just being Scottish, yeah, come on. So that's the 17th of
January.
You can
tell me it's got Hackney in there somewhere and all, aren't you?
Well, we're going to go back if we're there. No,
shekels in Scotland?
Shekels?
Yeah.
I've never heard of a shekel. What's shekel?
I don't know what a shekel is. Don't start.
It's some old currency?
Look, we've got our own notes and everything else, but you know, they are still pounds.
Oh, hang on.
It's Hebrew.
We've got a Google person in the studio. we're just plugged into Terry. Hebrew, did you say, Terry?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. So, Becky Brunning, Edge of Average, the love child of rock and roll and cardigans. Becky is conflicted about everything. She's also funny finalist, woman finalist, star of Broadchurch, and definitely one to watch. So, go and have a look and see what it is. Start at the beginning of the year by going out. You know, January is, you know, you're only a few days away from Blue Monday.
That's true. We got people from Blue Monday coming in as well.
So, have we?
Yes.
Yeah. I figured it out. Your TARDIS takes the shape of a bike, doesn't it?
How did you know?
It's an old-fashioned one with the bent handle.
It's got a basket on it. Friend. Yeah. You know, like the Witch of the North uses in The Wizard of Oz? Yeah. It's like that.
She used to watch out for houses landing on it.
Marvellous. Anyway. Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh, I used to love that tune. That's an Ultra Latte and Free.
You used to like it.
Oh, well, I still
so
like it.
That's like why.
Yeah, I put it in the show. So, yeah.
Just because like you
it.
Could.
I like it. I got another one coming up later as well. I bet you Matthew will like that one too. So, anyway.
No, Matthew likes Lola's theme, isn't it? With Shapeshifters, Matthew? Yes, that's Matthew's favourite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like that one?
I do. Yeah. Who doesn't? This is classic. It's an absolute classic. Now, moving swiftly on, we've got somebody who's tripped across from Wales. Did you go through passport control all right, Diana?
That's on the way back.
Right, okay.
It's free now.
Diana Carver, who originates from Swansea. Now, you've been transitioned 16 years?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Right, now we're here to discuss. I must say that we're going to add Tara to the debate.
Aren't you lucky?
Yes. And Tara started the Trans Mindline. Did you not?
As part of the team.
Yeah.
There was more than one.
Okay. Okay. How magnanimous of you.
So how long has that been going, by the way?
Year and almost 2 years.
Oh, right.
Oh, that's gone quick. I remember when we were introducing that.
Mm. Yeah.
Good Lord. Right. Now, the problem with the trans community is not only is there infighting within the trans community themselves, because the word transgender is quite a big umbrella, a huge umbrella, and there's multiple identities underneath that. But also we got the prejudice from without the trans community also. So, Diana, give me some of your viewpoints on the term transgender and why you think it doesn't fit and you prefer transsexual.
Well, I think that transgender is too wide. It covers a lot of different types of people, from transvestites to cross-dressers to drag queens, drag kings. And the difference between them and me and other transsexual people is the processes we go through, because most of us actually believe that we women who are trapped in a male body, and we go through a huge amount of upset, upheaval, surgery, treatment to get to where we need to be to go and correct the problem that we believe and strongly believe exists. And to go through that process is absolutely horrific. I've been through it, I know Steffi's been through it, and a large number of people are going through it. And it's not easy to do. It's sold as something that's very, very easy. And I actually believe that by using the word transgender, we're undermining ourselves by identifying with people who've really got no connection with us whatsoever.
That goes on to the prejudices that exist within the transgender community themselves. Now, before the term transgender come about, I was out on the scene, and along with Tara, because we used to hang out together, and we used to see those prejudices firsthand, and they usually came from the cross-dresser fraternity. There was a lot of prejudice from the wives, we found, and I used to travel around because I used to do Touchstone magazine at the time, and chatting to the wives and the husbands of the cross-dressers. For some reason, the wives thought that their husbands might catch transsexualism, that it was some contagion. And also, you can understand why cross-dressers and transvestites didn't really get on with transsexuals, because all transsexuals talk about is, Tara knows, is hormones and operations.
Tell me about it, yes.
So,
do you think it's still the same?
I have no idea.
I don't think it is. I think it's changing.
Well, that's why we've got you here, because you deal with the youth. Now, the one thing about the youth that we interview and we interact with in other organisations when events are on, I love their energy, and I love the way that they feel so confident about their identity, whatever that may be, whether it be non-binary, gender fluid. Yeah. So I find that so refreshing, because when I was growing up, that just wasn't there. There was no refreshing because society was trying to bury us. Mm. So, Tara, give us a rundown on your views of the youth from...
I guess my experience is that, it is a very different language now. It's what my experience is, queer comes out of quite a lot of people talk about how queer or trans, transsexuals kind of seen as old fashioned to some people,
Their perception. But I would say that I haven't changed my gender. I'm not trans. My gender's always been the same.
That's right.
I was born with a male body, but my gender, that was my sex.
That's right.
My being, my soul, was female.
It's quite interesting, because I think if I'm playing devil's advocate here, it feels like that's a binary concept. And I guess the more modern way of thinking of things now is actually things aren't as binary as male and female.
No, the youth are very much about everything being very fluid, aren't they?
Yeah, so we're experiencing a very different change in language.
But that still means you were born that way, surely. You don't just decide one day, I'm going to be female or I'm going to be non-binary.
No, but I think there's more exploration in what gender means now in young people, and I think that exploration...
Yeah, but in that case, transgender would fit, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think, from that, some people decide to transition, some people won't transition.
Diana?
Yeah, well, I think there's a big problem here. I think the problem is, of course, that there's a... And I come back to what I said originally. There's a huge difference between a transsexual person, somebody who's going through the process, and somebody who just puts on female clothes. There's a huge difference. And to use one word to describe the whole scene confuses the issue. The public are really confused about us and where we are and what we're about. And I know that people have been referred to transsexual people as transvestites and cross-dressers. And we don't fit into that category. That may have been the case that as you try to come to terms with yourself, you start at that sort of area, which I certainly did and a large number of other people did. But you then move on to the to self-identify, because to face the issue, you need to start at yourself and to look at yourself. And I'm sure the same thing goes for gay people. So you need to look at yourself as a person and accept the fact of who you are. And then you move on to say, well, you know, I need to do something about this. And that's a big step again in itself. So I understand the cross-dressing situation. I've got cross-dressing friends, and that's fine. I haven't got a problem with them. In fact, one of my best friends is a gay cross-dresser. He knows what he is. And by the same token, I think a lot of cross-dressers and transvestites know exactly where they are and know exactly where we are in the spectrum, if you like.
That's true, but that's because we're in the community and there's a lot of mixing and going to events where...
Is this an issue within the community, or is this just more to do with the fact that the general public don't understand some of these terms?
I think it comes back to what you said. It's the general public don't understand, and that means that they fail to understand the things that we've gone through, and they don't give us credit for what we've actually got to do and the pressure and the stress we come under because of the prejudice we get. And people will, you know, my family's cut me off totally. And it's, a lot of people are really good with me. I don't have big problems in society. And in fact, I was a trade union branch secretary, and it was really good. A lot of people, even now, after I've retired 5 years ago, they speak to me in the street, the women speak to the men speak to me, and they treat me quite well. And that surprised me.
So then it also then comes down to a question, picking up on Tom's point, is this a generational thing?
Because
the younger generations, are talking about it and very open about it, and they do that from a young age... The issue sounds to me like it's more the older generations that were brought up and weren't told anything about this to not understand what it is, I would imagine to someone who doesn't understand what it is, it doesn't really matter what you call it because they just don't understand what being transsexual or transgender or transvestite necessarily is. So but is there not a bigger...
Don't you think the word transgender, the inference there is that you're changing gender? Have I got that?
I won't lie. I mean, I've...
Because the word trans just means moving, doesn't it?
For 9 years, and I still don't fully understand all of the terms.
Well, my issue is, because I work as a counsellor with trans people, and actually the language is such an important thing, and what I often have to do is actually allow them to talk through how they feel and what... And they then learn... We kind of learn where they feel they belong, and we kind of think of it, rather than a binary kind of male or female, kind of think of things in spectrum terms.
But does that mean that the term transgender is not fit for purpose anymore then?
I think it's oversimplistic.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Can I come in on
that? Yeah.
I mean, the law only uses one word, and it's transsexual. That's what the law defines me and Steffi and Tara as, transsexual.
Yeah.
And the rest of it is irrelevant. And when you need to speak to somebody formally and say, well, look, this is what I'm going through, I'm transsexual, then you're actually putting the stamp on it and saying, this is what the law defines me as. Because in many cases, you face prejudice. You've got to do something about it.
But isn't that what the government are trying to change, though?
But that's the only label you can use at the moment. If you use transsexual, that's the one label that protects you if you're in a place of employment.
That's correct.
If you're transvestite, cross-dresser, or anything, you don't have the same rights in the same respect.
I disagree with that because supposedly there's protection, some protection for privacy under the Gender Recognition Act, Section 22 of the Act.
Yep.
And that act, again, uses the word transsexual. But the problem with it is it's a joke. And that leads us on to self-ID, because the old thing about self-ID, I don't understand why people are making such a big fuss about it.
Well, let's go back a step. What fuss is being made about it, for those that don't know?
Well, for those that don't know, there's a big movement to get self-ID, where somebody comes along and they say, well, okay, well, I feel female, I want to be a female. I change my gender formally through a change of birth certificate. What I don't understand is why people think it's going to change anything, because it doesn't. I've got a gender recognition certificate. I've actually got a birth certificate which says female, but it hasn't changed anything. The only protection under that is Section 22 of the Act, and it's a criminal offence to reveal that somebody has actually changed their gender. But I've tried on four occasions to get people prosecuted, and the last attempt I made, the CPS decided that it wasn't in the public interest. Well, there's never been a prosecution, and I think that the whole thing is a red herring. I actually think that transsexual people need more important things like surgery, like support and understanding and counselling, because these are the things that make you more integrated into society. The whole point about transition and transsexualism is that if you can't integrate into society and be happier after you've done it than what you were before, then there's no point in doing it. Mm-hmm. Because in some instances, it can make you really, really unhappy. It can unhinge your mind because of the pressure and stress you come under. Mm. It's phenomenal. And I think people understand.
Yeah, I think I agree, actually, because I think some people think it'll be the solution to everything. And that in itself is that you've got to accept that actually you're putting yourself at a huge risk by transitioning. And in that process, there is loss. And you've got to accept the risk of that loss. And that could be family, you know, yep. It can be work, it can be all sorts of things.
And that's a horror story in itself.
That's a reality.
But that's down to education of the more wider general public, you know. I mean, the decision as to how you identify surely should be down to you.
But they reckon 50% of the population understand what gender is and 50% haven't got a clue and can't really get their head around it, because they're so comfortable in their own gender, they don't even question what gender is, because it's an innate thing that you're born with.
Right.
And only if you actually gender question it are you going to be in this position where your head is so messed up from day to day, because you don't know if you might be born as Adam, but you want to be Eve, you know, and that whole thing is just so messed up. It's the first thing you think about in the morning, the last thing you think about at night,
right.
And you think about it every other minute. So you can't perform your jobs properly and all the rest of it. So once you've actually transitioned, you are a more productive person in the world. That's because great. Actually, everything makes sense now. You know, in the medical model, I know I'm going to get shot down for this, but it's there to protect people from transitioning wrongly. And it's there to make sure that people are doing it for the right reason. And the gatekeepers are trying to make sure people do make the right decision. That's all it's for. And I do, I mean,
it must be a very hard one, because, you know, especially the younger they are, the more society's always said the younger you are, the less able you are to make a big decision like that.
Yeah, Diane, we've only got a moment now. We have to close this down, I'm afraid. We're completely out of time.
Okay.
So, for last words.
Right. I know I identified myself in about the age of 8. I know somebody who's called Cara, and she's in Cardiff, and she was telling me that she identified at the age of 5. So, it's nothing new. People identifying, the issue is they may have the opportunity now to come forward and say, well, I'm in the wrong body.
Thank you very much, Tara, Diana, thank you very much.
Stay with us, you're listening to Shout Out, back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Sunshine by Dario G. What do you think, Matthew?
I approve.
The original's good as well.
I'm not old enough to remember that.
Yeah, Love in the Northern Time.
Life in the Northern Time.
Life in the Northern Time. Thank you, Terry. That's it.
Yes. Yeah,
brilliant group.
Yeah.
So I just remember that being a massive club hit when I was younger.
Summer of 96, I think.
Yeah, six or seven. It's one of the two. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Wonderful.
But yeah, I remember that used to come on in a nightclub and the place used to erupt with they were all going mad. And it was just that beginning intro, that da-da-da that we played. Everyone would run to the dance floor.
Which is musically really simple, but it was so effective.
Yeah, it did work. So anyway, hello.
Sorry,
we could hear you whispering in the background when we
absolutely. Talking about Doctor Who.
We're very badly behaved.
Steph's TARDIS. The thing
bigger
is,
bigger on the inside.
All the Time Lords have a name like the Doctor or the Master or there's the Rani. So what would you be, Steph?
I have no idea.
I'll have to think of
I'm
something.
Sure you'll come up with something.
The Master, the Mistress? No, that doesn't work. Really,
well, there's Missy already because Time Lords, of course, can change gender, can't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah, as we've got a female Doctor now and a female Master.
Well, you are the producer.
The producer.
Yes. Nice one, Matthew.
The new villainous Time Lord that the Doctor has to face. The producer.
Sounds like something like The Chase.
So, anyway, we are running really, really behind at the moment.
Can we say hello to Polly and Oliver this evening as well?
Hello to you.
Hello to Polly and Oliver.
Right, should we get some news headlines?
Yes, you can.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 10th of January.
Fresh for the new year, the winter issue of the quarterly gay and lesbian journal Pride Life is now available. As we leave the midwinter celebrations behind us and look ahead to gradually lengthening days and the promise of spring around the corner, the magazine has an international feel, showcasing some popular gay destinations around the globe. The magazine also hooks up with Doctor Who in the wake of the successful first female incarnation and talks HIV, the bittersweet experience of growing up different in a heterosexual world, and even carries the first press advertising for World Pride in New York, which is scheduled for June. Pride Life magazine is stocked by WH Smith's, many alternative bookstores, and all good news agents.
The communist daily newspaper The Morning Star reports that a survey for Women's Aid found that 139 women were murdered by heterosexual men during the last 12 months. The survey only looked at women in straight relationships and focused on women over the age of 18. Women's Aid called on the government to do more to deal with violence against women. Meanwhile, LGBT commentators noted that there was an epidemic of violence in many heterosexual couplings.
The January issue of the underground music magazine DIY is out now, available free from shops such as Bristol's Rough Trade. And for those of you who came of age to the sounds of neo-punk movements such as Queercore and Riot Girl in the early 1990s, then you will be pleased to learn that the legacy of such groundbreaking music scenes is still alive today. DIY meets up with Aussie female-fronted punk band Amil and the Sniffers, who are currently in the United Kingdom recording their debut album. Taking their name from the gay party drug still enamoured by many guys on the gay fetish and festival circuit, the band has a stunning punk rock pedigree, having released their first EP from recordings made in their own front room. The band is classed as a one to watch in 2019, although they themselves have said that they will remain resolutely underground.
The Guardian newspaper, not always in the community's good books after its apparent capitulation to anti-transgender extremists in November, meets up with the gay Jewish socialist playwright Tony Kushner shortly after the man gave a Thanksgiving dinner for his friends in the Manhattan's Lower East Side. Kushner wrote Angels in America, a play about the AIDS crisis and the approaching millennium. It was turned into an award-winning television drama. Nevertheless, he elaborates in the interview that his beloved play is Caroline, about an African-American woman working in the basement of a well-to-do household in the 1960s, with a tumultuous hippie and civil rights decade as its backdrop. Kushner finishes the interview by telling the newspaper that President Trump appears to have no working intellect whatsoever and is just a windbag of soundbites, bullying and rage.
Something now for older listeners and those many LGBT people who are vegetarian or vegan. Veggie for Life is a charity that has been launched to support people over the age of 50 who eat a plant-based diet. Now, we know that statistically speaking, gay, bi and trans people are more likely to be interested in issues such as veganism, organics and animal welfare. The charity provides pen pals and correspondence friends for people who are isolated and would like to communicate through the postal system with other veggies. You can search Veggie for Life online to see how you could get involved.
And the January issue of local independent paper B247 is available now in the Greater Bristol region. The paper's regular LGBT section looks forward to the events and happenings of 2019, including Bristol Pride and a solo show at the Old Vic to mark Sir Ian McKellen's 80th birthday. Pick up your copy today from libraries, independent shops and cafes across the Greater Bristol area.
For these news stories and more, visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Matthew Tosh
and Terry Starr.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
There you go, that's the Hollies and a Long Cool Woman. That one is.
Long and Cool.
Long and Cool, yeah. Yes. So, I won't lie, it's not a song I've ever heard. So
really?
You sent me that one, so.
Yeah, it was for, Diana wanted that one, so that was played for her.
So anyway, first ever, do you want to introduce it?
Yes, my umbrella organisation are going to be doing a podcast and for this year and hopefully into next year, and this is their first one.
Hello and welcome to the first ever episode of Under the Brolly, the My Umbrella podcast in partnership with Shout Out Radio.
My name's Tom.
And I'm Steve.
And you may have listened to our previous pilot episode about what we do and what this podcast is about. Mm-hmm. And starting from next month, we're going to be exploring all the A to Z of LGBT plus sexualities, identities, genders, fetishes and kinks. And in this episode, we want to talk a bit more about why there's so many.
Yeah, I mean, the pilot episode itself was thrown together very quickly, but I think it sounded pretty good.
I don't think anyone noticed.
I don't think anyone noticed either, actually. I mean, we've got loads to update you on in terms of where we've come from and what we've done so far. So you've heard us in the pilot episode, you've heard about who we are and what we do, you've heard a bit about what My Umbrella do. So I suppose it's only right so you know about what we do for My Umbrella. So my role with My Umbrella is that I look after the funding, I look after the sponsorship, I also look after stock and the merchandise. But at the same time, I'm also out on the road with the My Umbrella team at every single event we can possibly get to get essentially the word on the street and find out more about what goes on at all the different Pride events to help and support people that fall under the umbrella of the lesser known LGBT plus sexualities, identities, genders, kinks, fetishes and everything else on top.
And my role with My Umbrella is that I provide the kind of research side of things. So if there's any kind of new identity or flag that's cropping up, or if there's areas which people feel like needs to have more research into, then that'd be my role. And also if we are going to be doing any kind of written stuff, bringing together information that we find online or from the community, then find the person to coordinate it together. So a lot of what we do with My Umbrella is about informing people and spreading the awareness and the word of the community. So with other people in our team, that's what we do.
Absolutely. It's not just us either. There's loads of other people that get involved. Quick shout out just to some people that essentially if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be here and we wouldn't be able to possibly make this. So we'd like to shout out very quickly to Christina and Kerry, who are our two founders who kicked everything else off with My Umbrella. And also Mikey Russell, who essentially is the one that keeps us all trying to follow the rules, but not necessarily getting fairly close to that, who is also one of the Reading Pride trustees. As you heard in our pilot episode and possibly from our promo as well, My Umbrella itself was formed by Reading Pride, based in Berkshire, for the lesser known sexualities, identities, genders, etc. And essentially, if it wasn't for them, then we wouldn't be here today. But we are based all across the south of the UK, so we essentially will get to as many prides and as many different events as possible, right the way along the M4 corridor. So just because you think that we are a charity based out of Reading, we're supported by Reading Pride, but we cover so many other areas on top.
And one of the most popular parts of what we do is bringing together all different flags for the different identities and sexualities. So before we start next month by going into some of those identities, we thought it'd be quite good to explain a bit more what they're about and why we've got so many. So Steve, why are there so many identities?
Well, in the job that we do and the roles that we do when we're out on the road, a lot of people ask us a lot of questions about essentially all the different flags and all the different identities and why there has to be so many. And the reason why there are so many identities out there is because essentially there are so many different people that fall under essentially that umbrella. And there are so many different possibilities where other identities cross over with other orientations, with other sexualities, with other genders, with other kinks, with other fetishes. And the thing to remember with this is it's not about putting people in boxes. The whole reason why their identities out there and orientations is so that people feel like they can belong. And not only do they belong to something, but it means that they've got something to hold on to that makes them feel valid. The fact that you can be validated, the fact that you can move away from feeling as though you don't belong, and the fact that you can feel as though you're not broken and that there is nothing wrong with you apart from the fact that you are a human being, is a massive, massive plus as far as we're concerned.
And speaking of plus, see what I did there?
You did. That was
a terrible, terrible link. Some people might have noticed that there's LGBT plus, there's LGBTQ. There's so many different acronyms now.
Let's just go through it a second. Well, right? Where did we start?
Well, first there was LGB, right, lesbian, gay and bi, and then there was LGBT with the trans movement.
Yeah.
Then we had LGBTQ, which still seems to be used, and then we had the plus added, so it can be LGBT plus or LGBTQ plus. Then suddenly we had LGBTQIAP.
I'm running out of room on the
I know. Right now, and then it turned into just a big alphabet soup. And recently I've seen quilt bag.
Go on. What's a quilt bag?
Quilt bag was meant to be a short way of providing the community with an acronym which covered queer, unidentified, intersex, lesbian, trans, bi, asexual and gay. So that was fine until the pansexual community realised that there was no P in quilt bag. Mm-hmm. So that quietly seemed to disappear. So the question now for a lot of people is why, when will it stop? When will we have no more acronyms available? And I think we always will. And this is the common one, seems to be LGBT or LGBT plus.
Yeah.
And we're all about the plus. Mm. So because there's so many, there's literally hundreds of different identities, it can seem quite confusing and ultimately quite overwhelming to people in the community and those outside. So what we are trying to do is we're trying to promote the idea that obviously we're in this together and we can learn from each other about all our different identities.
So aside from that, what we'd also like to do is we want you to get involved with what we're trying to do. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your stories, your experiences, anything that you feel that you would like the rest of the community to know and you want to share with us, or even if you just want to ask for some advice or some signposting, anything like that, we would love you to get involved with us.
So we ideally would love to interview you. If you're not comfortable using your own name, we can also use a pseudonym or not even mention it if you prefer.
Yeah.
And we can digitally alter your voice, although that might sound a bit odd, so if you don't mind using your voice, that's also fine. Possibly I could do that. So yeah, you don't worry if you want to just email us and write to us what you'd like us to say about, read out what you said, that's also fine. The important thing is we want to know what your identity means to you and what you'd like other people to know more about, because obviously if you're part of a community already, we'd like you to have a little bit more of a voice in that community for your own identity.
Brilliant. So I suppose it's easier to find out how you can contact us. Now, we've got loads of different ways and means of getting in touch with us, but we also love to meet you face to face. So if you do hear or see us at any of the Pride events that you're going to locally, then come and track us down. Now, the easiest way to point us out or find us is to go onto our website, which is www.myumbrella.org.uk. Take a look around our website, have a look for our logo. All right, you'll see it on the banners that are out and about on all the different stores that we've got. And if you come and approach us and want to get involved in the Under the Brolly podcast, you may very well be able to pick up our very, very limited edition Under the Brolly and My Umbrella key rings, badges, coasters, magnets that you may even be able to get for free if you're getting involved. And that's a little incentive for you to come and have a chat to us.
So you can also email us info@myumbrella.org.uk, and if you put in the subject line Under the Brolly, or if you want to be all abbreviated, you could use UTB. So Under the Brolly or UTB. We are also on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, so you just search for My Umbrella, and if you'd like to connect to us using the hashtag Under the Brolly, then you're welcome to. But yeah, we'd love to hear from you. And I think as of the summer, obviously we're going to be getting involved with a lot of prides, but between then and now, you're more than welcome to get in touch, and we'd love to feature some obscure, unusual, interesting people at the end of the day. So and that includes you. So until next time, in February.
Wow,
that's it for today, isn't it?
We've got 4 weeks.
We have. Well, you've got 4 weeks, so get in touch and let us know.
Thank you very much. Okay, anyway, we'll see you then.
Bye.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
That's a Darla International. If you don't love me the way I am, sorry, Matthew, I do love you the way you are.
Oh, that's very kind of you.
We all love Matthew the way you
are. I keep calling him Matt. It's because I've got so many other friends who are Matt. I don't do it on purpose.
The problem is, if you're a Matt, people walk all over you.
And also, Matthew
has
more...
Is that genuinely why you don't like it?
I tell you why. No, it comes from when I was at school, there were two Matthews in the class. And it was a simple point that I decided to be Matthew, and the other one decided to be Matt, and it stuck. And this is right back at first school, right, the two of us. Wow. And so that we didn't get confused. And it's always stuck. So I've always been a Matthew ever since. Uh-huh. And if people say Matt, because it just doesn't register, I don't pay any attention.
No. So what did your mum call you when you were naughty?
Or can possibly divulge that. Unbroadcastable. No, you always got that Matthew. It was a very kind of very terse.
Oh, it's the way she said it.
And that look, you know how a mother does, you know, so scary.
I mean, my parents just call me Andrew regardless of what mood they're in. It's, you know, my sister does that. She's like, when she's a bamboo with me, I'm no longer Andy. She's like, Andrew.
Are you ever a Terence, Terry?
I was actually baby Terence, to differentiate from my father, who has the same name as me.
So you're Terry Jr.
And eventually, I adopted the name Terry for myself. Yeah.
Very good.
So,
are you actually a Stephanie?
Yeah, with two F's.
F-f-f-f.
Does that come out in full when you if you've done something wrong?
what from Lynn?
Stephanie!
I don't think she's ever used. No. No one ever calls me Stephanie.
She just throws like a pillow at you or something.
The thing is with names, isn't it? People just shorten it to the shortest possible. You don't even say Steffy, do you? You
just say Steph. Yeah. But again, it's because I've had several other friends who are just Steph. And it's really difficult. You get it stuck in your head. And the Steph I knew I worked with for ages, and she was always Steph. And it just kind of, when I met you, oh, you're Steph too. I can put Stephanie in the script for next week if you like. We're not doing next week. Matthew, you're doing next week, aren't you?
Yes, we're locking the studio so you can't get in.
Nice. I have a week off. So. And it's Laura, very odd when I'm not here for
Laura's back. Laura will be back on the airwaves,
Laura Matthew.
And I think she'll be giving us some insight into the Kiki My Five that's coming up there, a little podcast. They're going to start in February.
Brilliant.
Yes. Mm. Well, there you go then. Who's going to make the TARDIS noise?
Well, do you know, I did look for it at the break. I can find the Doctor Who theme tune, but yeah, I'll have to get you a TARDIS.
We know how to make it. Terry was explaining to me earlier in the evening how you make it. You need a piano D string and a key.
I think it's the D string, they used, and a house key, and they moved it up.
Oh, it was the BBC Radiophonic Workshop, was it not?
Then you add lots of reverb, slow it down, speed it up, loop it over itself, and that's how they did it way back in 1963.
Gosh, was it in Delia
Derbyshire.
Wow. So Anyway, that's it for this week. Now, if you'd like to get involved in Shoutout, even from the odd little contribution or to helping us in the studio weekly, give us a shout. We'd love to hear from you.
Email us studio@shoutoutradio.lgbt or head to our website for more information about us. Plus, there's a contact form there too. All at shoutoutradio.lgbt. Didn't I just say that? Why did you put that in twice?
One's an email, one's
next
a web
week,
address.
Matthew's here in the big chair catching up with Harriet because we're going to lock the door and keep Andy out.
That was my bit, but never mind.
Well, you wouldn't have said the last bit, would you? Bye, everyone.
Say bye-bye, everyone. Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.